Let's turn together in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. If you are visiting with us as a congregation, we are about halfway through our series going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've come to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll be reading just the first four verses here of Matthew chapter 6, and that's found on page 964 in our black pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start our reading then at verse 1. Matthew 6, verse 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And that's as far as reading in Matthew 6. I encourage you to keep the Bibles open as we look at these four verses together. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all like to look good to others. We like to give a good representation, a good first impression. Everybody wants to put their best foot forward. But sometimes the desire to be liked by other people, to make a good impression on other people, can infiltrate our lives, can even infiltrate our faith to the point that we pretend to be more pious than we actually are. When it comes to practicing our righteousness, to putting our faith into practice, we put a mask on so that when other people see us, we act differently than we would around people who are not from our church or who do not share our faith. For example, do we live differently on Sundays than we do on Monday? If people from your church, or perhaps I myself, was invited to go and visit you at work tomorrow, would I be able to say, the person I am standing beside tomorrow on Monday at work or with your friends at school, that's the same person that I saw at church, the same person I had in catechism class? Would I say that's the same person? They're being consistent? Or do they live differently? Do they practice their righteousness before others so that people can see them doing their good works for the praise of men on Sunday, and yet the rest of the week live a totally different life? Well, this week, as we begin Matthew chapter 6, we find that Jesus is going to be exposing the heart of the hypocrite. And particularly in the Jewish context, a righteous man's life was known in three areas. A righteous man's life is known by his giving, by his charity, by his prayer life, and by his fasting. So we are going to have a short mini-series within our series looking at giving, prayer, and fasting. And the subtitle or sub-theme of these 3 weeks is the secret life of obedience. Do you practice your righteousness? Do you practice your faith so that people would see you, so that people would praise you? Well, 2 weeks ago, we read the commandment to love our enemies, to do good to all, and to not give the enemies what they give us. If they slap you, you don't slap them on the other side. You let them continue to heap abuse on you. You do good to all. You return blessings for curse. But is it possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason? Perhaps some of you know about the Adventures in Odyssey. It's a little story that the kids get to listen to on the radio. A couple episodes, I remember, one of the questions that this episode in the Adventures of Odyssey asked was this: can you do the right thing for the wrong reason? And the answer they came up with is, yeah, that's called a right wrong. It is possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So it is possible to be incredibly generous and giving in the context of the church, but to do it for the wrong reason. So this week, we are going to be focusing not only on what we do, but why we do it. What's the heart? What's the motivation that is moving us to our actions of obedience? We're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to practice our righteousness for the praise of God and not the praise of man. For the praise of God and not the praise of man. In our first point, then, we consider what we are called to give. Our text begins at verse 1 that says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness." So Jesus is saying that you are to practice your righteousness. Well, practicing your righteousness is putting your faith into practice. It's living out what you say. Practicing your righteousness is putting our faith into visible terms. As James would put it, "I will show you my faith by what I do." Now, to be clear, practicing your righteousness is not that you are earning your righteousness. You are not earning your justification by what you do. This practicing of your righteousness is simply letting the fact that you are justified, that you are already born again, that you are already made right with Christ by faith, you're displaying that. You're practicing it. You're putting it to work in your life. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Or 1 John 2 verse 29 says, "You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of God." So your practicing of righteousness proves that you have been born again by the Spirit. We don't earn our righteousness, but having righteousness already imputed to us by faith now enables us to live a righteous life. Now, interestingly, the word for righteousness in verse 1, practicing your righteousness, can also be translated as practicing mercy, practicing charity, practicing compassion. So there is a specific vein that Jesus is focusing on, and we see that again in verse 2. When you give to the needy. So of all the things that we're called to do as Christians, practicing our righteousness, putting our faith into practice, the specific focus is on giving to the needy, charity, benevolence. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about giving to the needy. Hebrews 13, "Do not neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." We also know that traditionally the tithe would be the first 10% returned to the church for the use within the kingdom, and any additional free will offerings would be on top of that. But the point that Jesus is here making is that if you are a man or woman, if you are a member of the church, if you are someone who has been born again, if you are righteous, if you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, then you will practice your righteousness. For Jesus, it is not a question of if, it is a question of when. Jesus is not saying it's possible for you to practice your righteousness. It's not an option to give to the needy. He's saying you will do this. That is part and parcel of being a Christian, is being generous. It is impossible for someone's heart who has been softened by the Spirit, someone who has received the riches of life and resurrection and the blessings, that pearl of great price, has been granted unto them. It's impossible for them to be unconcerned and uncaring about the needy. God's people will be generous, giving of their money so that the poor and needy, particularly in the context of the church, will have their needs met. That is practicing their righteousness because of how blessed they have been. Returning a portion of funds for use within the ministry so that the church would continue to function and the needy, the poor, the widows, the afflicted, those who have been let go, those who are oppressed, would have their financial needs met in the context of that particular church. Deuteronomy 16, "When you appear before the Lord, do not appear before him empty-handed." What you do with your money, what you do with your tithes and offerings, shows the state of your heart. If your heart doesn't care about the needy in your church, then it might be that you still have a heart of stone, that you've never really awakened to the great blessings that Christ has given to you. So practice your righteousness. As verse 2 says, give to the needy. That's what is expected of the Christian. Well, now that Jesus has established the fact that his disciples will be givers, it's not a question, it's when you do it. Now Jesus is going to focus on how they do it. Negatively, Jesus begins by saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by them. Positively, verse 4, when you give, you are to give secretly. So Jesus gives a negative example in verse 2. Do not be like the Pharisees who are loud, who are boasting, who are visible in their giving, or who practice their faith so that other people would see them. Now, during this time when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, it was common practice at the temple, if there was a particular extraordinary need that arose in the temple, the priest would blow the ram's horn, and there would be a communal call to charity. The people who wanted to show their charity, to put their generosity on display, would then close shop, would shut down whatever they're doing, and make this great visible, grandiose giving and charity, putting on display that charity. They'd run to the temple to show their support or to show how generous they truly were. Jesus says it's like someone blasting a trumpet. It's like taking a front page article out in the newspaper. I want everyone to know that I'm giving this amount of money to the church, or calling a press conference so that everyone would know how generous you truly were. Another aspect to this particular commandment of Jesus is that in the temple, there were boxes that were used for the collection of charity, and the top of these boxes had openings that looked like a trumpet. So when you would put your money in the top of these metal boxes, you would hear the rolling down and the clinking of the sound of the money falling in. Remember, they didn't have paper money. They had coins, metal coins. So the rich would come in, and they would spend significant time clink, 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 clink. It was very audible and visible how generous this particular person was being. The rich people could make a lot of noise with their money going into these collection boxes. But Jesus says this is hypocrisy. Those who give this way for the praise of men, who are giving in order for other people to see how generous they truly are hypocrites. They're putting on a show, a charlatan. The literal word here is they're putting on a mask. Remember I said earlier that some people put on masks on Sunday? You show up to church with your family, you're all smiling, and I mean, you might have been fighting like cats and dogs in the car on your way here, but you get to church, everything's happy. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing wonder. You're putting on a mask. You're putting on a show. Well, some people do that with charity. I'm so generous. I'm so kind. I'm so giving. Look at all these things that I'm doing for other people. Jesus says, you are motivated by your fear of men and your love of praise from men. You're a hypocrite. You're a charlatan. You're masking your true intentions. You're not giving to the church because you're generous. You're not giving to the church because your heart has been moved by gratitude. You're giving so that other people can see you. You love the praise of men. Instead, Jesus says, you are to hide your giving. Do it in secret so that people can't see you. Even so secret, now this is shocking when we think about it. In verse 3, you are so secret in your giving that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. Now, how can you hide from yourself your giving? But the point Jesus is making here is you are so secret that you are doing your generosity so that if it were possible, your right hand would be completely in the dark to the generosity you're doing with your left hand. You're hiding your generosity not only from other people, but from yourself. Because the fact is, sometimes our love of praise is not just the love of praise from other people, but it's love of praise from ourselves. Yeah, you did good this week. Good job. You really went above. We pat ourselves on the back. We like praise from ourselves too. You know, we really were sacrificial in our giving. Good. We pat ourselves on the back. Self-congratulation, boasting in our humility, pride in our generosity. So the praise of man or self-praise are the dual dangers of practicing your righteousness. Rather, when you are giving, you are to have a heart that has been moved with generosity and a heart that is moved to praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9 puts it like this: each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So when it comes time to give your tithes and offerings, do we look around? When the collection plate comes, do we kind of glance over our shoulder? Oh, that guy put in a 20 this week. He put in a single dot. What's going on? He put a 25-cent coin in there. Boy, what's going on here? Do we kind of glance? Oh, that guy didn't put anything in this week. I wonder if he just forgot. Or maybe he doesn't ever. Maybe I'll have to look next week to make sure he actually put something in. We are looking around and we're judging other people. And then when we put our own collection in we want to make sure everybody can see it. Yep, I'm putting in today. I want everybody to see it that I am giving to the church. We're thinking about what other people are seeing, are viewing. Do not think of others, Jesus is saying. Don't let it be a concern of yours what other people are thinking. Don't be working for the praise of men, but rather your motivation is the praise of the Lord. Has your heart been moved joyfully, generously moved? Just to illustrate this point, what this kind of looks like, imagine that there is a rather prestigious Christian university that's putting a new addition on. And we find this all the time, Christian school campuses, new wings, new buildings being added, and that particular building bears the name of the giver so that everyone can know this family or this person has given generously for the building of this new campus. Would it not be better? Would it not be better to do that anonymously so that you and your family don't get the praise? Jesus says, instead of putting your name tag on the gift, don't let everybody else know about it. He wants you to give in secret. Just as an aside, that's one of the benefits of the envelope system in our church, is so that people don't know how much you're giving, that it does remain secret, so that it's a matter between you and the Lord and not you and your neighbor. Well, now that we have seen the necessity of giving and the goal of giving is that it's not to be done in a flashy way so other people can see you. In our last point, then, we look at why or what should be motivating us when we give. Jesus says that if you are giving and you're doing it in a visible way so that other people can see you, this is in verse 2, so that you can be praised by others for the praise of men, you have received your reward. If your giving is external and visible, Jesus is warning that the reward you receive will be from men and not from God. Every action has a consequence, and every gift of generosity will receive a reward. But if you give so that people can see you, If you give because you love the praise of men, or you have a fear of man, then God is saying that man will be the source of your reward. People will tell you that you are a very good person. They'll give you a pat on the back. They will praise you. And Jesus said that will be the end of your reward. Your reward will be human, temporary and passing. People will say to you, good job, and that's the end of the story. But if you give secretly, if you give not because you want people to see you, but because your heart has been moved, because your heart has been changed by the grace that you've received in Jesus Christ, then the God who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Your reward will not be from men, will not be in the form of self-congratulation or the pat on the back from other people. But verse 6 concludes, God who sees you in secret will reward you. Proverbs 19 puts it like this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. God will repay you for your generosity. Ephesians 6, verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Now, the reward that here is promised comes in different ways. The first reward is actually immediate in that we receive in our own hearts the joy. Jesus even says this is better to give than to receive. There is a joy that is filling our own hearts when we know that we have been used by God to bless others in the context of the church. There is a spiritual reward that we receive here and now in serving God. There is a reward in and of that service itself. But there is also another reward that is promised. And that reward is kept in heaven for you. God sees what you do in secret. Now here's where it gets interesting. God sees what you do in secret, but he won't reward you in secret. Right? God sees what you do in secret, but the reward he gives you will be very, very visible. He will reward you with blessings, honor, riches. Even as our God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little, now enter into your master's reward. There is clearly a reward. It's not earned, but it is promised. A reward that God has in store for those who are faithful, even with their money, here below. So then I ask you, whose praise is more important to you? Who do you want a reward from? Do you want a reward from man? A pat on the back? Whose praise is more important to you? From whom do you seek a reward? When answering the question of why do we give, a heart that has been moved by the great riches and grace that has been received in Jesus Christ, we can't ignore the reason why we give. How many blessings, how many riches haven't been placed in your hands? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, you have an inheritance that is beyond what your mind can comprehend. Should that not now move you to be generous and to put your righteousness into practice? To conclude, the concept of giving and charity is an expected part of the Christian life. Practicing your righteousness, Jesus says, giving to the needy, is part of the expected Christian's life. But why do we do it? Whose praise are we seeking? A generous heart is one that has learned to see everything as a gift. As Jesus says in Matthew 10, freely you have received, so freely you are to now give. As we come to the Lord's table, we once again find Christ, our heavenly host, graciously calling us and feeding us with things that we cannot earn and riches that move our heart to joy, gladness, and thanksgiving. May this blessed gift, the greatest gift of all, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, stir our hearts to be generous to others in their time of need. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the riches that are ours in Christ. We do indeed pray, O Lord, that our hearts would be moved by generosity and thanksgiving, seeking not the praise of man, but rather seeking your praise and glory, looking not for a reward from man, but also trusting that a reward has been promised to those who respond with faith. May this truth move us to be thankful, grateful, obedient Christians in all that we do as we work out our faith in fear and trembling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.